Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, the second chapter, Jeremiah chapter 2. Actually, my message today is a topical message, but we will read a verse out of Jeremiah 2, and then it will make sense as we go along, I trust. Some time ago, I was reading my devotion in the book of Jeremiah. And as I read through the first nine chapters, I gathered a great sense of burden for the tremendous wickedness of Israel and Judah. And they were repeatedly found to depart from God and to follow after the many gods of the land. They were rebellious but also stubborn, for when God would send judgment upon them, there was still no room for repentance. I was amazed to consider how corrupt and wicked God's chosen people became. Soon after, I realized the reason for their departure from God, that it's this. They had forgotten who God is, and they despised His magnificence and glory. It also dawned on me that we're not that much different than the children of Israel of old. Now, I believe that we can learn from their experience, and it's my objective today to remind you of God's glory. The songs have lent themselves to that theme. And so the title of the message is The Glory of God. We will begin reading in Jeremiah 2 in just a moment. Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house, and we give You the honor and the glory and the praise because You're God and there is none other. It's due unto You, and so we give You that recognition. And Lord, we desire to worship You today in spirit and in truth. We pray that You bless Your Word, and as it goes forth today, help us to be reminded of who You are and what You've done. And Lord, help us to be drawn to You and to love You and to be found true and faithful to You. And we pray for those in our midst that are lost, that they might recognize who You truly are, the God of all the universe and the Savior of the world. And Lord, we pray that You'd be pleased to convict the lost and draw them to Yourself and grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. Lord, we ask that everything we do would be for Your glory. Help us as we think about who You are today and that glory that belongs to You. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Well, I think about the glory of God today, and as I mentioned, this is spawned from the concepts that are gleaned from the first nine chapters of the book of Jeremiah. And so I want to offer you a brief summary, if I may, of the Jeremiah chapters 1 through chapters 9. And let me offer you, first of all, in chapter 1, that you'll find there the call of Jeremiah and his ministry of exhortation and rebuke toward the backslidden nation who will refuse to hear their instruction. And so that's the reason God called Jeremiah. This is what he is going to do. He's going to speak to the nation. In chapter 2, the mention of Israel's departure from God's from God into idolatry is mentioned. And judgment will come upon them for their iniquity, but they will not repent. Notice verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in Me, that they are gone far from Me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? What did I do wrong, God said? But here we find a nation of Israel going away. Chapter 3, Israel is like a woman who played the part of a prostitute going into many lovers and yet turning back to her husband when in need. And in spite of knowing the fate of Israel, Judah transgressed more wickedly, and so they're going to get what they deserve. Chapter 3, look at verse 25. 3:25. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And then in chapter 4, there is a call to repentance and return, for God's wrath is coming upon the nation. Much pain and grief is spoken of because of the destruction which was to come upon the gainsaying people. Look at chapter 4, book of Jeremiah, verse 22. For My people is foolish, they have not known Me, they are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, and to do good they have no knowledge. Boy, what a sad commentary that is. Wise toward the evil, but to do right, they just were not able to do so. Chapter 5 reminds us that Judah is hardened in her heart, despite the judgment of God. Their rebellion provokes God even more and more. Chapter 5, look at verse 3, the last part of the verse. They have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. That's the nation of Israel. Look at verse 21, chapter 5. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Verse 29, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And so we see as we progress through these verses, the sin of the nation of Israel and God's judgment to fall upon them. Chapter 6, Jerusalem falls prey to the enemies. And the people, the priesthood, their pastors, they were not ashamed of their abominations. Chapter 6, look at verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Chapter 7, Jeremiah was to preach repentance. He was to warn them, but they're not going to hearken. Therefore, judgment was pronounced against them. Chapter 7, verse 13. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. And look down into verse 20. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and not be quenched. Great judgment comes because they just will not listen to God. Chapter 8, judgment will be severe, but they will not recognize their sin, nor will they return unto God. So destruction will continue. Chapter 8, verse 13. Jeremiah 8:13, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. And then in chapter 9, Jeremiah was burdened at the evil of this people, and God will punish Judah and Jerusalem. Why will God do this? Chapter 9, verse 9. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Verse 13. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. Verse 14, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. And then two more verses, verse 23, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth me, understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And so we find in this very brief survey the great sin of the nation of Israel, the judgment that comes upon them, and they would not yet respond. Why? Again, I believe it's because they forgot who God really was. And they forgot about God's glory and God's magnificence. Hence, we want to remind each of us, lest we fall into the same scenario, we want to be reminded of the glory of God today. I've chosen to do this in two fashions. One, we're going to look at Jesus' model prayer as He taught the disciples how to pray. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. The other section will be is we're going to review some passages of Scripture out of the book of Psalms, just selected passages there. All this for the intent of being reminded of the glory of God. So I've asked you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we want to make a quick survey of this prayer. Again, the Lord Jesus is teaching them how to pray. And it's verse 9 down through verse 13, of which we will read. But notice, first of all, in verse 6, whatever you may glean from these verses, our emphasis is going to be on who God is and what God has done and God's glory and His magnificence. And so notice, first of all, in verse 9, that God is to be recognized in His glory. As we are taught to pray, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'll tell you, there's a very low view of God in our society. People do not fear God. This we're talking about the God of the universe, God which is in heaven, and hallowed is His name. And so I submit unto you that we need to recognize who God is and recognize His glory. Verse 10, God's will is to be that priority. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth as it is in heaven. And so as much as we would recognize that God is the true God, we need to respond to Him by recognizing, hey, I need to be obedient to this sovereign God. And so that's what we find in verse 10. In verse 11, God is the one who provides for the creation. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that doesn't seem like a whole lot. That's just a short phrase right there. But you have to keep in mind that all that we have and all that we eat, all that we experience, they're blessings from God. God sends His rain upon the just and upon the unjust. God is the one that provides for His creation. Therefore, He deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. You say, now wait a minute. I get up every day, I go to work, and I work hard, and I earn a paycheck, and I go to the store, and I buy this, and I buy that, and I grow stuff out in the backyard, and I do all that. No, God gives you the ability to produce those things, but God is the one that actually provides that. He's the one that's given you health. He's the one that gives you employment. He's the one that makes those your garden grow. God is the one that provides the money for you. And you know what? You need to give Him the honor. You need to give Him the glory. God, this belongs unto you. You have given this to me. And so you praise Him. God is the one that provides for His creation. And because of that, He deserves the honor and glory, doesn't He? We look into verse 12 here. God is the one who truly is offended by our sins. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And this is a reminder that God is a holy God. God is a just God. And we need to keep in mind the magnificence and the purity of God. Israel, they got to the perspective of, we just do whatever we want. God really doesn't care. But God does care. And so we need to remember who He is. And God is a holy God. And so we read, hey, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, we have sinned against You. And that's a reminder that God is the one that has been offended by our sins. And so that shows the magnificence of God. Verse 13, then we read that God is our only protector from evil. Inasmuch as He provides for the creation, God is the only one that can really guard us. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so we find that God is the one that protects us. God, You watch over us. Does He deserve the glory for that? Does He deserve the praise for that? Oh, He certainly does. And then as we just read there at the end of the verse, God alone is to be glorified, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Who should we give honor and praise and glory to? Did we just not read a moment ago back in Jeremiah chapter 9? Remember verse 24? Let me read it again to you. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's what God says. That I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Do you recognize that? Do you see in this model prayer, and we can learn many things about prayer in it, but in this model prayer we can glean the glory of God in every step. Oh, that we would be reminded of God's glory. If we would have a less tendency to do what we want to do and to go our own way. Well, as I mentioned, that would be the first portion. We're going to take the remainder of our time by looking through some verse references in the book of Psalms. Selected passages from Psalms. So if you would go to Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm. And they will be in order. We can just go right from chapter to chapter. All this for the expressed intention to be reminded of the glory of God. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. God gives us so many things, especially the salvation we have in Christ. Psalm 74. Psalm 74, verse 16. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast repaired the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Who did that? God did. The Creator. Does He deserve the honor and the glory as the Creator? Yes, He does. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Look at verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. God deserves the glory, does He not? Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee? Or to Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them. Verse 13. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Psalm 96. Are you seeing something about God today? Are you recognizing who He is and His character? The works that He does? Oh, I judge that you are. Psalm 96, verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Do you recognize God like that? Is that your desire? Is that your understanding? The psalmist cries out, God is the one that deserves the praise. He is great, and He alone is holy. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Ah, God deserves the glory because He is the Creator. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The psalmist is making very clear here, God is the one that deserves the honor and the glory. And you recognize, I trust, that God will bless those who are His. And that mercy belongs unto those who believe in Him and respond unto Him. So you that are lost, you need to know who God is. And you need to recognize that He's the sovereign God of the universe. And God is the judge. But also God is the Savior. And He's the one that has made it possible that we might have forgiveness of sins. And so, either way, Christian, we are to be honoring and glorifying God. Lost person, you need to recognize who He is, that you might be motivated to repent and to call upon Him. Psalm 113. Psalm 113. In verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? A man thinks he's so tremendous. We're the core of this universe. No, my friend, God is. God is great above. And He has to bow Himself down just to see what's going on here. And that's what we recognize. God is the one that is supreme, and He deserves the glory. Psalm 117. 117. We'll read the whole psalm. Verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. What does He say? Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 135. Verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. God's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He deserves the glory. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Verse 1. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand, and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will also hear their cry. He will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. You notice the praise there. I will extol thee. God, you've done this every day. I give you the honor and the glory. You're to be praised. You are the great God. All that were in our hearts and in our minds to bear in our memories who God is. God is the sovereign God of the universe. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the savior. And he deserves the honor and the glory. We must bear this in mind. Israel forgot these things, and so they did what they did and followed after their gods and goddesses of the land. What a shame. Even when God would speak to them, they would rebel against Him. Psalm 147. Are you being reminded of the glory of God in these brief passages? I pray that you are. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise ye Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Turn, if you would, back to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I have endeavored in a brief fashion to remind you of the glory of God by mentioning the Lord's model prayer. And certainly He is the focus, is He not? I have endeavored to look at a number of passages here in the book of Psalms. As we looked at psalm after psalm and some of the description, to remind you of the glory of God. How that we ought to give Him the glory because of who He is, and His greatness and His majesty. In closing then, if you get anything, get this. Psalm 118, verse 28. Thou art my God, I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Is that your perception? Is that your viewpoint here today? You're God. You're my God. You deserve the honor and the glory. I'll give you thanks. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 10, please. Jeremiah chapter 10. I gave you the summary of the first 9 chapters. But we read that God alone is God, and we need to exalt Him, and we need to give thanks unto Him. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 6, for as much as there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, Thou art great, and Thy name is great in might. Who would not fear Thee, O King of nations? For to Thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto Thee. Is there any other God that compares to God, the true God of the universe? Absolutely none. Look at verse 10. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide His indignation. Do you recognize, my friend, who God truly is? And so, sinner, today I point you to that true God. May you recognize God's power and might, that you would turn to Him. Cry out to God for mercy. He alone is God. Now, when we look through the first 9 chapters of the book of Jeremiah, and we only read just a smattering of verses throughout there, but I assure you, my friend, that the children of Israel were marked by several characteristics of ungodliness. They were idolatrous. They offered compromise too many times. That they were disobedient before God. They were rebellious before God. There was selfishness in their hearts. That is, they would oppose God's ways to do their own ways. They were stubborn. They had a hard heart. They forsook the Lord, and they did not fear God. That's the nation of Israel. And that's why judgment came upon them. And so, really, in summary, it was their actions and their reactions. Well, all those things were a result of their, I believe, a lack of their recognition of who God really is. And I believe that they have forgotten about God and His wondrous glory. I mean, you can look in other scriptures as well that talks about you forgot God that brought you out of Egypt. I mean, when they were in Egypt and they were looking at the plagues, and then when they were delivered out of Egypt and got to the Red Sea and delivered through the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was drowned. Yeah, they remembered all that. But as time went, they forgot. And when God gave them manna, they remembered, but then they forgot. God gave them water, they remembered, but then they forgot. They're a forgetful people. Are we not a forgetful people? Isn't it easy to forget who God really is? And because we forget His majesty and His glory and His honor, we tend then to go astray. As the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Really and truly, that is who we are. I want to remind you of God's glory today. You're in Jeremiah 10. Go back to chapter 9. I want to offer you a word of warning. Jeremiah chapter 9. We read this before, but I want to remind you. Jeremiah 9:9. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? By the way, not only is that a reference to the nation of Israel, but when it's in the indefinite like that, doesn't it apply to any nation? Any nation that would go away from God? Any nation that would forsake Him? Any nation that would be idolatrous? Will not God avenge Himself? Will He not judge? Will He not judge America? Take warning. I'm reminded of a text over in Revelation chapter 16. And I'll read that to you. Revelation chapter 16. And verse 10 and verse 11 says this. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Notice the great judgment of God during the tribulation period. Just this one activity, the vial that's being poured out, and great pain comes upon them. But here's the response of man. Verse 11, they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Instead of recognizing who God truly was, instead of repenting and coming back to the God of glory, what do? They went further and further away. That's what's going to happen. It happens now. It's going to happen in the future. And despite all the judgment of the great tribulation period that shall come upon this earth, they're gnawing their tongues for pain, and yet they cannot respond to God in goodness. What they'll do is they become more embittered, and they turn away from Him. So, but notice in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, I'll read these to you. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 43. Do you not find that those who are lost, they'll gnaw their tongues for pain and they'll curse God. They will not repent. And yet in Revelation 19, those who are His cry out, Hallelujah. God, You deserve the honor. You deserve the glory. Even with judgment coming upon the earth, God omnipotent reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as I finish, I want to offer you an exhortation by looking into 3 passages. Isaiah chapter 43. I've intended to speak to you and remind you about the glory of God, and I pray that it would make a difference in your heart, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 44, across the page, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Notice, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Verse 8, last part of the verse. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Isaiah 45, verse 5. First part of the verse, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. Verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. My sinner friend today, I want you to recognize there's only one true God in the universe. It is the God of the Scriptures. He alone is God. And you will give an account to Him. So verse 20 through verse 22, and I'm finished. Isaiah 45, verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. So, verse 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I speak to you about the glory of God today. And I pray that you're reminded of the glory of God. That, dear Christian, you might be drawn ever more closer to the God who has saved you. And you cry in your hearts and from your lips, Hallelujah! You reign. But all sinner, take warning. Judgment's coming. God reigns above. And He will judge this world. And He alone can give you eternal life. He said, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none else. No other religion, no other God, no other goddesses, no one can help you. Only the true God of heaven can. Will you look to Him? Will you give Him the glory? Let's stand. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the day and the privilege to be in your house and to honor you, and Lord, for the privilege of opening up your word. I ask, O God, that you would take your word to every heart and just implant it deeply within our souls, that we might recognize who you are, that we would respond well to you. Lord, those of us who are saved would rejoice in the salvation you've given to us, cause us to honor you, to glorify thy name. And Lord, help us always to give praise to you. We do pray for the lost, that you might convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, help them to recognize that you alone are God, you alone can save them, and we pray that you would do that even today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and for His sake, and for your honor, and for your glory, we pray it, and amen. Number 334.